The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
The young guy on it, it was on the under-20s last year. He turned it up to me halfway through the game because we're too old. I was like,
he was back. You're his coach.
Tell me you dropped him.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick start car insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.
We are turning our attention to rugby in just a moment. We've got Alan Quinlan with us this morning. Alan, how are you getting on?
I'm very good on yourself.
All good. I thought come Friday morning we wouldn't have any more Razzie Erasmus stuff to talk about. But lo and behold, an hour-long video on Vimeo yesterday has sparked more headlines. This is getting out of hand now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. I couldn't believe it when I saw it yesterday. The organised detail presentation from Rassi was incredible, I think. And it's making all the headlines now. Everybody has an opinion on it. The vast majority of people, I suppose all the South African people online are sticking up for Rassi, saying he's right. And then people around Britain, Ireland are saying it's terrible and it shouldn't have happened. It was just phenomenal, really, to see the detail and the explanations. And this is not something we've ever seen before.
That's it. It's truly unprecedented. And like, whether or not it's right or wrong or any of that sort of argument, like, why has he gone to such lengths, do you think? Because he could make the points he was trying to make in press conferences in a more concise manner, a la Warren Gatland, for example, or a lot of rugby coaches. We've seen this all the time, Alan. So why has he taken this to a level we've never seen before, do you think?
Frustration and mind games, I think. I think he's obviously frustrated with some of the big calls. Razzie's a very passionate guy, and you can see, if you watch Chasing the Sun, you can see his reaction in the press box, and he's so engrossed in what's happening. He's kind of playing every ball. He's involved in every tackle, every ruck. He's moving around the whole time. I think he's frustrated with some of the decisions, and I think he has a right to be frustrated with some of the decisions, first and foremost. And every single coach in the professional game tries to get feedback after games. If they lose a match and they're frustrated with decisions that went against them, there's a process that you, at all levels in the professional game, that you'll try and get feedback, and you'll send in video clips and you'll question some of the decisions. The referees then have their own reviews with the referee managers, and they go through that. They do it here in Ireland, and you know, for Pro 14 games or European games, Irish referees involved have that process with Johnny Lacey. It happens then obviously at the top level. Joel Juge is head of world referees. He'd review the referee's performances with the referee, and Nick Berry's would have been reviewed last weekend. I think the frustration was, and it was a bit unfair for Rassi to expect on Sunday to get all these questions answered and get these replies. That's why he said he went public with it, because he couldn't wait until Tuesday. It was too long, and I find it a bit far-fetched that he was basing his selections on some of these interpretations that he was looking for. Said he had a chat with the referee, which again is common practice at the top international level, where you get feedback from the referees pre-match and you things they're kind of don't want to see, things that are good in your team. And that's very, very common for both Warren Gatland and Rassi Erasmus to have met Nick Berry last week. But the frustration then for Rassi is some of the things that he said he would be watching and highlighting. He seemed to think that he didn't do that for South Africa. But Owen, you could pull apart every match at that level, and in the professional game, and find side entries, players going off their feet, 50-50 calls and scrums that could have gone the other way. You could have an argument to say that a guy's elbow was on the ground first and the penalty should have gone your way. And it's very, very common that coaches will air their frustrations in private in a manner that they'll present, and they'll question such and such a thing on the 17th minute, on the 24th minute, on the 60th minute, and it'll be that detailed, and it'll be sent through the channel to the head of the referees, whoever that is at the time. And they will reply with answers to say, well, look, you were right with this one, you were wrong with that one. And they'll try and explain it out to keep a little bit of continuity around it. Because rugby is very difficult to referee, again, because we all have a different interpretation. Some decisions are very, very clear cut, but I think the ones at scrum time and at the breakdown are very difficult at times. Some guys are poaching a ball. Referee says he's on his elbow, he's not supporting his weight. You see a replay, and I know this from commentary, and I say, well, that's not the case here. I think it should be the other way. So I've lots of those decisions. So I think it's just born out of pure frustration and trying to put pressure back on the officials. So some international coaches will love this. They will be delighted this has come out because they feel that it's a controlled environment, that there is no accountability from the referees. The danger here is if you kind of get into that space where you have referees being interviewed after games and stuff like that, that you just turn people off because it's very difficult. So part of me thinks I understand his frustration. Another part of me thinks he shouldn't have done it because he should have just been patient and waited. But he could have went through journalists during the week and aired his frustrations. But going public with this video, probably a step too far. But there's another part of me that if I was a player, I'd come off the field so many times and just had that frustration. And we do video reviews then and we see all these decisions that went against us and things that weren't picked up. And I just thought Nick Berry, I had that feeling after the game the other day because that some of these decisions kind of really swayed towards the against the South Africans in the second half. But if you scrutinized it and went through every line situation where they had the ball and things that the South Africans did, you could probably find loads of clips that the Lions could argue to say that they should have got more penalties, or they should have got some of the decisions. So great entertainment, but in dangerous territory, really, I would say.
It is great entertainment, and it's been brilliant for all of us watching on. I think it definitely gives an extra edge to the games and all that. But like the theory, Quinny, that it sounds like you subscribe to, which is this is just another version of the Warren Gatland stuff from the previous week about the TMO. It's unprecedented, like what he's done to sit down and do this hour-long video, like you say, picking apart decisions that are 50-50 calls that some weeks will go one way and another week will go another way.
Some are not 50-50, some are about 80-20.
Yeah, sorry, clear,
Adrian,
clear. You know, look, clear.
Clear yeah, argument.
Your point is 100%. Some of those things that he was talking about, Curry particularly coming into the side, tackling the player's leg, absolutely no question about it. But they're the sort of decisions that happen in a game, like you say, and sometimes they go your way and sometimes they don't. They don't. But the unprecedented nature of the video, right, and like this hour-long sort of sit-down, Where is he coming from with this stuff? And like, is it in some ways, when you're looking at it, it feels like the unraveling of a man in front of our eyes. It's either that or it's like this guy is just an absolute genius.
It's one or the other. Yeah. But look, he obviously feels so strongly about this that there were certain things that Nick Berry said to him on Friday and that he just didn't apply that. And it's absolute frustration, I think. And he seems to just say, look, I don't care about the consequences here. This is, if you're being told one thing by a referee, and he doesn't apply that situation in the match, well, and then you can't get a response. Now, in Nick Berry's defense, he's building up to a test match all week. The eyes of the world are on this game. He does his match, has his meal, has a few beers or whatever if he wants. He's entitled to kind of have a bit of a downtime on Sunday. I saw some nasty comments online about a referee having a nap at 5 o'clock on Sunday. He may not have slept at all Saturday night. I've often been in a situation where I played a game on Saturday evening. It's very difficult to sleep. You wake up early.
Erasmus shouldn't be putting that stuff out, Quinny. That's why I talk about it.
Probably that stuff went a little bit personal there.
He kind of said it, didn't he, in a way that was like, oh, that's fair enough, but that's not what he meant. I there was aspects to it that definitely pointed to that Erasmus has lost control a little bit here.
As you say, at the start, either lost control or it's genius. Look, I know World Rugby are not going to be happy about it. It's not the done thing. But there's another part of me, Adrian, that says And, you know, Johnny Lacey's one of my best mates and he's a referee, and I always respect his opinion on what should or shouldn't happen around these things and protocols. You know, a great time for Joe. He's head of World Rugby now, and but Joe, if he was honest and openly admitted, he probably was close to being vocal on some of this stuff, or wanted us some of the times. Because, I remember chatting to him at times and watching Ireland games and just being incredibly frustrated myself if I was involved in commentating the game with some of the decisions. So there's a danger that, you know, referees are telling you one thing and doing the other. And that's where it's come from with him. So look, I don't think it's the end of the world. I think maybe it'll create a debate around these channels and maybe a bit more accountability. But the negative side of that then, Adrian, is will it turn people off and say, Jesus, I don't want to get involved in this. I often have it myself with my own commentaries. If you're kind of in the lap of the gods, really, at people's mercy of criticizing you, and you're being in a situation where you're doing commentating a match, and you go, sometimes I've kind of scratched my head afterwards and said, why do I bother? I do it because I love it, and he coaches because he loves it, and referees do it because they love it. But if you're going to be criticized openly, and the world is different now with social media, and everybody has an opinion, and you create a hate and a nastiness which does spill over to the referees. You know, Nick Berry will probably have to carry this for a while. There's people who make comments to him in public if they meet him. You know, it's that's the dangerous place we're in. So one part of it is great that you kind of bring this thing out in the open. And, you know, these guys are professional referees. They're getting paid as well. So that's the difference here. He's getting paid. And there has to be some bit of accountability. Players have to be accountable all the time. And there's a protection there for referees, which I'm not saying open the thing completely and say make them accountable publicly and have to do interviews and all that kind of stuff. But big decisions cost people jobs, cost people a lot. And it's very hard. I don't have the right answers. And I think maybe Joel Jew should have intervened here and got back quicker to Rassi. Maybe Rassi should have sent this stuff straight to Joel Jew, who's the head of the referees. And if he wanted a process on Sunday, requested that Joel Jew come back to him. He says he made a phone call Sunday night, got a message minder. And I think it's against protocol for him to be going contacting Nick Berry anyway. He should have went straight to Joel Jew on the Sunday and sent all these clips. And then if he didn't get adequate responses in time, well, he could have went public about Joel Jew not getting back to him and maybe said, look, that he was going to go public. Could have been handled a bit better, but look, I think there's a lot of legitimate arguments in the videos he played, but it probably should have been held back, to be honest. He may regret it, and it may work out for him.
Yeah, he's been tweeting again this morning. Somebody, Jaco Yohan, tweeted him again.
You're joking.
John O'Sullivan article from May of last year in the Irish Times about the tackle that ended Brian O'Driscoll's tour in 2005. It was a sporting controversies article. And noted, thanks JJ, is his reply. Brian Moore made a point on Twitter yesterday, Quinny, just it's my last point about it because I'm conscious that like there's a game to talk about and maybe this is what he wants. But Brian Moore made the point that about the video that nothing in there explained why South Africa lost. Like, you know, so that maybe that's the genius side of it that, like, you know, here we
well,
are.
I disagree with that. I disagree with that because there's loads in there explained why South Africa
well,
lost.
Just to do him service. Sorry, Quinny, to go to crash it. Just to do him service. What he talked about was stuff like the dominant first half that South Africa didn't score a try. The front row gamble didn't work. Lost the collision in the aerial battle. So he was very much more specific than that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there were certain things that I thought their performance in the second half, when they had the ball and when they had control, was really poor. They played two phases, tried to kick the ball, inaccurate kicks as well, lost those aerial battles, as you said. Still could have won the game if the Willy Leroux try was given, if the Damien Diolinde one wasn't a knock-on from Colby. So there were small margins, but neither side created anything. And that was the frustration for me. It was a for me, it was just an unbelievably disappointing game to commentate on and be involved in and to watch. But I wasn't surprised. And don't be surprised on Saturday if you see more of the same arm wrestle, confrontational, players smashing each other and loads and loads and loads and loads of kicks. And I would have just loved if South Africa had been a bit shrewder and tried to play a little bit more. But in their defence, they didn't have it in their legs. They looked very, very tired. And it's only half a second or half a metre off in some of those kick chases that maybe cost them at the weekend. And the line's been better. So I think we've missed a point here as well. And in all this chat, the Lions are really, really good in that second half. And Warren Gatland deserves a lot of credit for getting his team to come out and react. I thought it was South Africa were so comfortable in that first half. But definitely the fact that South Africa haven't played in a long time, they had all these COVID cases, and they looked really, really undercooked from a match fitness point of view and tired so much. Hence, they've gone with the 6-2 split this week and are trying to go back to that bomb squat narrative of the forwards coming on, making a huge impact. They didn't have that impact last week. So it'll be really interesting what happens. But they did make mistakes. And he acknowledged that at the start of the week. He said it was strange. Razzie said it was, he tweeted that there was no excuse from us. Better side won. But I know, again, as a player, being in a room and you're analysing matches and you're looking back at videos, stuff jumps out at you. You go, wow, 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 at times. And I've had that experience. And that's probably what happened with him, particularly around, I would imagine, if Nick Berry was very adamant about certain things and he didn't do it, that's what drove Razzie to do this. And it could backfire on him or it could work. They might get some of those decisions on Saturday. But I have a feeling that Ben O'Keefe won't be swayed. Matthew Reynal and Nick Berry and Marius Jonker, who he says is a very good friend of his, has he met his job even more harder now for the weekend? I don't know. It's crazy stuff.
Who's going to win tomorrow, Alan?
Well, I said South Africa last week, and I think if they manage the game better in the second half, even with that kind of energetic kind of surge from the Lions in the second half, they could have still got the job done. I just have a feeling South Africa will level the series. I think obviously there's way more pressure on them all now because, you know, small margins and small mistakes here. And if things start to go against them, will that get into their heads? But I just think you're going to see a real aggressive surge tomorrow. And, you know, historically, you know, in 2017, New Zealand kind of out-muscled the Lions in that first test, and then there was a great response. So we're going to get an inevitable kind of surge of passion, fire from the Springboks. And I just think it might get them there, but they have to be a little bit more shrewder in what they're playing. If they just keep kicking and kicking and kicking, I'd like to see them a little bit more braver. And I think they'll have, obviously, that 80 minutes under their belts might give them that just little bit of match fitness that's needed. So I think they might just get across the line and level the series.
All right, Alan, enjoy the game. We'll chat to you again on Monday.
Cheers. Thanks, lads.
Stephen, how are you?
How's it guys? How's it going?
All good. All good. A massive reaction to you setting the scene last week before the first test, and tensions started to get a little bit high over the course of the last week. Tensions that perhaps you stoked seeped into the Springbok camp, and all of a sudden your beloved director of rugby is here in Vimeo giving us a 1 hour breakdown of what went wrong last week. What the hell has Razzie Erasmus done here?
It's a mark of pure genius, if you ask me. I think he's, like, regardless of whether or not you think it's the right thing and whether or not you think his calling out the referees is right or not, it is the perfect distraction. It is exactly what this Lions tour needed, if you ask me.
Why do the South Africans need a distraction? Are they not world champions? Should they not have the confidence to say, we don't need any sideshows like this?
Well, see, the thing is, they're not the same team that won the World Cup in 2019. And I made the mistake last week of thinking that they were based off of that SAA performance. This is a team with a head coach who's never head coached before, coming into his second, now his third test match ever. It was supposed to have another one before this, and then the second Georgia test got cancelled. So he's not necessarily the best in terms of managing the media in these amazingly crucial, huge, high-pressure scenarios. Then you've got Siya Kolisi, who was coming into the series on a little bit of poor form, gained a little bit more form for the, when he moved to the Sharks, but still wasn't in his top form. You've got the likes of Jasper Visa, who's starting his first ever test match, and he didn't need that extra pressure on him coming into this incredibly crucial, like the series is on the line type of thing. So to take all of the media pressure, I mean, all those things are coming into this final, or this what feels like a final test match for the Box. It's not really, it's only the second, but it kind of is, because it's a do or die match. And yet the only thing we're talking about is some guy with a, some random guy on Twitter who may or may not be Rassie Erasmus, and then Rassie Erasmus going literally out of control and doing, the thing is, Rassie's never out of control though, I don't think.
Yeah,
he's never given the impression that he does anything that he doesn't want to do.
Exactly, and that's why this has been all so very strange. Because if this was anybody that wasn't Rassi, you might have said, "Well, this is just crazy." And I don't think we've ever used that adjective to describe Rassi Erasmus. He's been one of the most. He's certainly been ruthless behind closed doors. He's been cold, I'd imagine, plenty of times. But this unhinged nature we haven't seen before, and I think the madness, there's a method to it, is what you're trying to say this morning. But I'm hearing a lot of excuses there, Stephen, in terms of why things haven't gone so well. So a rookie head coach, a captain maybe who's undercooked. I mean, he's coming up against a test captain whose shoulder was out of place there only a couple of weeks ago. Is there not any pride there within you who's like, no, these guys just underperformed last week. They can do a hell of a lot better. This coach should be getting a better tune out of this set of players than the one we got last Saturday.
Oh, no, I think you misunderstood. Those weren't excuses. Those were reasons why the Box would be under pressure. The Box bottled it in that second half in last week. And to be honest, I didn't think they were particularly impressive in the first half either. They just were better than the Lions. And the Lions improved drastically in their second half. But again, as I think Alan Quillen mentioned as well, it was not a great test match. It was tense, sure, but it wasn't the best. It wasn't what we were looking for. It wasn't what we were hoping for. And the Box know that they need to improve. They know that wasn't their best. And the distractions from Rassi, because not in really, I don't really know the structure of their management setup at the moment, but Jacques Nienaber is the head coach, so he will be doing most of the one-on-one sessions. So Rassi can take the distractions away and lure all the media away and let the Box just carry on and do their thing. And that's the thing, what they need. They don't need people interrogating them on every single thing this week. They just need to buckle down and improve.
He might be doing all that sort of at the expense of his own. I mean, I don't want to overstate it, but not quite his own career. But I mean, this is going to be, if Springboks lose this weekend, Stephen, this is going to look really bad on Erasmus.
I think it's going to look bad on Erasmus no matter what happens. It's as Alan Quinlan mentioned earlier, it is unprecedented. It is not something that you would do lightly, but at the same time, it also stirs the pot. And a lot of people have been saying that we've needed something like this with referees for a while. I'm not saying that every referee decision is wrong. Of course not. And most matches, there's always going to be that little bit of 50-50 calls going one way or the other. But there has been a trend where big decisions have been made and nobody's been held accountable to them. And so I don't necessarily agree with what Rassi's done personally. I think it's a mark of genius. I think it's absolutely brilliant theatre, but the way he's publicly calling out might not be the best thing for the game. But just to get those questions and the stirring those pots about how we look at getting referees to be held to account, I think that was needed. So Rassi might have sacrificed himself. Rassi's effectively made himself a martyr in this series.
Yeah, I just think you do all of that away from the heat of battle, like just doing it in the middle of maybe it's an absolutely calculated mark of genius. But look, we'll move on to talk about the game. But I do think that I think that if the Springboks end up losing this weekend, I think that I don't know where he go. Where does he go from then? Like if somebody comes in from the side and doesn't get penalised from the line side, if Tom Curry comes in again and hits somebody in the leg when they should be hitting them higher up. Where does he go from here? Like, it's the red button for me. I just think that if the Springboks lose this weekend, and I actually think there's every chance that they won't, but if they do, there's a chance that this leaves a very dark stain on his career.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It's going to be, it's good. I mean, the next week will be more interesting than this week. And this week has been, I can't even really remember that it was six, that was only 6 days ago that we had a test match. Like, how long has this week been?
Well, we haven't been able to talk about the rugby, Stephen. That's the difficulty. We've been, you know, he's been tweeting again this morning. He's at it nonstop, keeping us in entertainment. And like, we're bread and circus. We're like Egypt's. We're falling for it. We're like the seals, sort of give us a little bit more fish there. We're keeping coming. We are sort of lapping it up, obviously.
There's nothing else really to do. I mean, again, it's the mark of brilliance because Rassi doesn't want the media talking about how poor the box were. He wants to talk about, oh, the referees, or he wants to talk about me, or he wants to talk about Warren Gatland putting pressure on Marius Jonker. Mm-hmm. He's trying to avoid how bad the box were.
Are we going to get like a more entertaining fare from South Africa? Are you going to at least entertain us this week in any shape or form, Stephen?
Hopeful. The inclusion of Visa is interesting to me. We're looking to play a little bit more like we played in the World Cup final as opposed to the World Cup semi-final. That another thing is what gets me is a lot in the Irish sort of analysis of South African rugby is, oh, they do one thing and one thing really well. And yet, if you really look at the performance between the semi-final and the final, they weren't exactly the same. And it looked like they were trying to do more of that, more of the running rugby in the second half and the first test, but they just ran out of steam. They just had no fitness. I think they're going to try that again this week. If they win, if they dominate physically in the first half, then in the second half, they're going to open up wide a bit more. But I don't think they can fix fitness in a week. So they're going to try it, maybe try spread out a bit wider earlier. But I don't know. It's going to be, I'm expecting a little bit more like what we saw on Saturday.
All right. Well, Stephen, enjoy it. And thanks a million for being with us this morning.
Cheers, lads.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
The young guy on it that was on the under-20s last year, he turned it up to me halfway through the game because you're too old. I was like,
he was back there. You're his coach.
Tell me you dropped him.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick Start Car Insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.